You know what? Why don't we just forget about everything else and look forward to the trip?
Sounds good to me.
I'm really excited about going to this town, Harmony. Maybe my feelings are real. Maybe there is something there, something that will change my life forever.
Hey, guys. I'm hungry. Does anybody else want to eat? Lynn? Welcome to Passions for Life. I'm your host, Natalie Z, with Travis Schultz and Benjamin Hayes, JD.
We've already done JD.
And also, we did?
You know, I was a judge, so that presupposes that I have the JD.
What is a JD?
A lawyer.
No,
Doctor of Jurisprudence.
Yeah, justice. Yeah.
Stupid.
And Travis, you added like an extra syllable. You said Benjamin.
Benjamin. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Obviously, it's not Natalie.
Nope.
But we have, it's us boys again. Valentine Malie is here with us. Say hi.
Breathe in, breathe out.
Oh, there it is.
Keep me alive.
Val's got a kick-ass mic, so he's using
it. I'm feeling it. Yeah, after last week's debacle with that sound.
Ugh, that was my first note that I was going to share with you.
Well, you're like, how far away is Australia? Miles? Do you know from Los Angeles?
I only do kilometers now. So.
Oh, that's true. Good luck. And you're on the other side of the equator. No, it's got to be like 10,000 miles away. And you sounded great, and I sounded like. I was inside of a Coke can or something. Anyway. Keep me alive.
We're here to talk about passions. Just to set the stage, we're going to be talking about episode 625. But before that, before we dive in, Val, how was your week?
My week, let's see. Last night was, I'm a little tired today. I bartended very late last night and it's getting freaky. Some people are starting to lean into behaving as though COVID-19 and an international global pandemic never happened. And they're just going to start treating people like shit again. Like they did no thinking, no pondering over the last year. They're just back to give me what I want. So not all of them. Most aren't. Most are not. But it's just shocking that there already are people who are like, oh, God, thank God. I don't have to pretend like I care about anything anymore. But look,
terrible.
Probably doesn't help with the fact that it's also warming up and summer. And, you know, people are getting loosey-goosey.
They are. And also people, you know, I'm serving a lot of drinks out there in the world. People are trying to get drunk, which I get. I got a little drunk last night, you know. I had a friend who'd been out of town for about a year and a half return. And I was lucky enough to be able to sit down with him after work on the back patio and catch up for about an hour. So that was rad.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it is excellent. Getting some writing, some work done on a prospective future thing that I'm trying to rope Travis into.
And then I left.
Yeah, and then you left for Australia. Well, no, it gives me more time to work on it. And working on a music video for a friend. I'm going to take him into a green screen studio and shoot him and do a little lyric video for him. So that's a fun project.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Keeping super busy. The fam is good. The wife and son are good. Going back to Gamboge tomorrow to get lunch again. Ben's going to join me.
Indeed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, you're going to love it when you get home in 6 months.
Oh God. Yeah.
But it's really good.
But things are good. I mean, how about you guys? What's going on, Benjamin?
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, you guys know how I like to drink, right?
Yes, I do.
That's what we.
Yeah. All right. That's what you guys say.
Right in your mouth.
I have not. I've been in Australia for what, a month now, and I have not been drunk. That's not good for Travi.
Are you really starting to bounce off the walls?
A little bit.
Are you?
All right. I just wanted.
Are you getting your THC?
Not. I, the delivery process I'm using, I'm not a fan, so I've kind of stayed away. And also, I got a lot of one-on-one time with little Ray.
Yeah, of course.
And she's going through a thing, so that is not a good combination.
Is she going through a thing because she's out of the country? Is it the whole lifestyle thing?
At first, I mean, definitely that has something to do with it, but also she's making space for herself. This is like, you know, she's starting to test, but she's enjoying it down here. She's got these kids are so sweet to her in school, and these girls hug each other all the time. It's so cute. It's so funny. They're like, bye, I love you. It's adorable.
Is she five?
Yeah. Five, yeah. Right? And it's so great because she's really kind of, when she went to school, I mean, I'll make this real quick. When she went to school, she already had friends there, so she didn't have to make friends. But this is brand new. So she's out there like putting herself out on the, you know, out on the playground, socializing. Like, no one's there to say, this is Reagan, my friend. She's out there on her own. So it's pretty good for her.
That's great.
So I'll end the baby talk. Ben, yeah.
Thanks for asking about my week. And thanks for jumping in, Travis, to answer about my week.
Do you hear how strident Ben is coming across right now?
I'm becoming very strident in the summer.
I've forgotten how to have conversations with people completely.
No, you're doing fine. This is on Ben.
Actually, that's something. No, Val, something Travis and I talked about, and I've also talked about with my therapist about one of the things that COVID has killed for many people, I think, is the ability to do small talk. Maybe not with more familiar people, but like the medium circle. You know, like,
yes, I do.
Yeah, like right. like Sean. We see Sean tomorrow. I'm going to be glad that you're there because I'll be like, so yeah, just kind of, you know, just do stuff. That's it. Got to eat my sandwich now because I've run out of stuff to talk about.
Yes. Yes. It's hard. It's hard. Well, yeah. So like you're conditioned to be like, well, I don't feel terrific necessarily, but I'm not going to bring everybody down and I want to see people, but I don't want to be the one bringing people down. But I think that everybody is sharing a little bit of a dirty secret right now of it's not even like me personally. I'm not even like depressed or anything. My anxiety level is there's a like all day today. I'm like, why am I holding my breath and doing things like I'm in a rush or literally like someone's over my shoulder threatening me? Like there's a looming threat, you know?
Right.
And I was I was like, that is something I have to actively address because, you know, we do have to get back to some kind of functioning life and I can't just be holding my breath all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have three quick updates. One is from my Aunt Margaret. She says to me that my grandmother, her mom, used to call the veil that the Catholic women would wear, she called it a mantilla. So I think the mystery has been cleared up. I think it's a generational thing. I think if you were a Catholic, like James Riley, like we think he was, of a certain age, then you refer to that garment as a mantilla. So
did mantilla come up in the last episode?
No, I meant to bring it up I forgot to. Yeah,
it was in the one.
It was with the last one Natalie did.
Yeah, Natalie did because that was it was a K. Miguel charity thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, everyone that was Natalie's point was that she you know her point was this is a nod to the you know Latinx culture that the white characters are calling it a mantilla, and we thought it was kind of like BS. But I think what it was is probably coming from an older writer who thought that was just what it's called. So anyway, that's that update.
Mystery solved.
Yeah. So thank you, Aunt Margaret. Thank you,
Aunt Margaret.
Thank you, Grandma Jane.
Thank you, Grandma Jane. Thank you, God.
So second update, I have a Black Widow update. I know everyone's wondering what the heck happened.
Salivating.
So we called the landlord and there were three suspenseful days where we didn't hear back from them. And then yesterday the exterminator showed up and sprayed the hell out of the garage. In that ensuing time period, I had killed at least one more female Black Widow and one male Black Widow, which are actually brown. So I'm very glad that our garage is safe to go into once again.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, I am proud of myself. And last update is we're still using Green Chef. Haven't heard from them. I'm hoping to. So Green Chef, if you want to reach out, make a deal.
Hey, Green Chef.
I'll plug you guys. Always. So all of us will. So just, you know where to find us on Twitter.
Wow, man. That surprises me that they haven't called yet.
I know. I'm surprised too.
Yeah. You know, I definitely can relate to the anxiety thing you were saying, Val, because I found myself walking around here in Melbourne, like going, wait a second, why am I, everyone's just relaxed, you know,
yes.
There's no mask here. And I'm like, what is real? And then I realized, oh yeah, that's what it is. I'm always, I still have that left over from, you know, the year that we just spent. And no one here has that at all. They're just like, oh yeah, we had a shutdown. It was bad, but it didn't last as long. So it's interesting. That was very interesting that you noticed that.
It didn't last as long. And also, I mean, I know that for me, we had a big national election and there was violence in the streets and there were,
yeah.
And you know, there's and much of which still lingers. And it was just, one has to keep going and everything, but there was nothing to do but dwell on that for a great period of the time, you know?
Absolutely.
So looking forward to,
thank God once again for that, change in, leadership.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I think it was a net gain.
Yes. Yeah.
My week.
My week.
I
was waiting for that.
Of course. I will never not do it.
I went, there's a amazing facility right across from where we live. It's, they call it IMSEC, and it's this huge aquatic center with a gym and all this stuff. And it's definitely Olympic size. Like they have one of those pools that is the size of a football field and it has a platform in the middle. So they've done the Olympics here before, but I do these classes, these exercise classes. And I did this one yesterday called Body Pump.
Tight.
And it's all, that's what I'm going for, Val. That's what I'm going
tightness.
For to get.
Yeah,
tight.
Exactly.
And the instructor is in her 60s. Maybe, you know, very close to 70. This woman is fit. And I'm like, man, this is, some of the most fit people I know are over the age of 60.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's healthcare. Yeah. At a certain point, it becomes healthcare. You know, you're like,
well, yeah,
like
yeah.
I don't want to get sick because I will go bankrupt.
Well, and you know, Ben and I, some of the guys we play tennis with, I mean, Jesus, they're like.
Well, also, aren't Australians notably sporty folks? Isn't there,
yes.
Their culture pretty sporty?
Yeah, their culture is very sporty. And they love swimming. Like that's your thing. And what I learned out here is there's three levels to kids learning swimming. You get in the baby pool, and then you get in the bigger pool. But the difference is this one's really warm. The first one's really, really nice and warm. The second one's not as warm.
Mm.
And the third one is cold.
Mm.
So not only do you learn how to swim, you learn how to swim in like
ocean water,
you know, 60 Fahrenheit water. Yeah, which is fucking cold. So that I was like, wow, that's okay. That's a big deal.
Hey, speaking of workouts, did I no, this is true. I went and I've been like trying to figure out the most efficient workout I can possibly squeeze into my life. And I settled on a bell mace. Do you guys know anything about bell maces?
We have one at the at the Toluca Lake Club gym.
I bought a 10-pound bell mace. It's a long piece of steel with a little ball on the end. And I was like, I hope that's heavy enough. And it is heavy enough. It is. So
it's like a hatchet.
Yep. You do. Yeah, exactly. You do like 360 swing, two-handed swings around your head. It opens up your shoulders, all this kind of stuff. Your obliques and your core, it addresses very strongly. But the kind of key thing is basically like, if you ever watch people do it, there's like a tire tractor, a tractor tire, giant tire. And you take this thing and you just pound on the tire. You just hit it like you're trying to kill it. And I couldn't do that, but they were like, if you can't do that, just do it on dirt, obviously. And I was like, oh yeah, this has got a spot by the tree in my backyard with no grass around it. That workout is legit and it's rad. Yeah. And I'm super stoked about it because it really is like 15, 20 minutes. You're spent. Your heart goes like 0 to 140 in like 10 seconds. You feel it everywhere in your body. The next day I was like, oh, there it is. Holy shit.
There it is.
Great, great stuff. Yeah. I'm very excited. I have big hopes for this workout.
Cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, thanks.
And then if I need a tree removed, you're raring to go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you already got the...
Plus, it's cool because my son, Hugo, loves to see it happen. He's like,
yeah.
He like, it's really cool. Daddy's just out. Because I'm like, I'm vocalizing. I'm like, you know. So it's good stuff.
And if you do meet like a zombie, you know, you have have the muscle memory to crush its head.
Well, that's the other thing is that I was like, not thinking like, oh, you know, I'm a grown man. I don't need to like get my frustrations out or whatever. It does. It is like, well, at a certain point, you got to dig in and be like, all right, now this is violence, you know, and it's great. It's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, Val. Like hearing that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Shall we address 625?
Yeah, let's jump into this episode.
Let's jump into this quagmire of anti-abortionness.
Ben tells me he likes this episode better than the last episode.
Yes, I agree.
Oh my God, I'm an outlier on this one. Good, we'll have something to talk about.
That was fun.
Do either of you want to do sort of just not the recap, but the contextual, you know, just quickly? TV Guide style, what's happening in this episode?
Well, it is 100% an extension of last episode, meaning that we have three arenas of drama and conflict that we are in. One is the good old book cafe where Ethan and Teresa and Lynn and Whitney and Don, Chad. are all agonizing over varying points of view with regard to abortion. Then there's
you're really raising it up here, Val.
Yeah, I'm trying to like fill in the blanks, you know. Then we're in the park once again with a very, very concerned Timmy. Timmy's very concerned about what Kay is doing to Charity One and Charity Two. Frozen Charity and Zombie Charity. And then the Scooby-Doo gang is running around trying to find them.
They found blood and now they're
worried. And Tabitha is once again narrating all of that. And from within arm's reach of the other
voiceover.
Yeah, the living voiceover. And then you got the kitchen from hell is what I'm going to call it. That stuff going on with Luis and Pilar. They're in the kitchen.
Lopez Fitzgerald.
They're in the kitchen trying to call Sheridan back on a boat, who's on a boat near St. Lisa with Brian. That's all you need to know about that. It's all the same stuff as last week, only more so.
All right. Where do you want to start?
Right.
Let's see. Well, let's do you want to do what we did last week? Last week we worked from worst to best, right?
Okay.
I think clearly the telephone thing is the worst, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah. I have a theory, and you guys are going to shoot me down, but I have a theory that might actually make it the best.
Wow.
If you accept my theory.
Holy shit.
But let's start there. I want to blow your minds, maybe.
Go for it, man. Oh, so should I start?
Let's dive in. It'll be a kind of a wrap up.
Okay,
sort of
well, okay, yeah, you go, Travis.
I just had a question. So there's a lot of the praying stuff. That like I used to pray so hard when you were little.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
say the rosary, you know, every day.
Right, and you know, as like, a Catholic here, and Val, you were Catholic too, right?
I was.
So who has the time to do the rosary every day? It takes a long effing time.
People do,
old ladies.
Old ladies and nuns, and that's it. If you're like a mom, like a single mom.
Apparently, it's old ladies and little boys is who does
it. Apparently, it's little boys.
Little housebound asthmatic boys. Yeah. Oh, did I talk about myself? Well,
so this is my question. Did you guys ever pray for something hard? Yes. To happen or to change.
I did, but it was all like selfish stuff. Like I remember.
Did you do that after 30?
No, God, no. I mean, I haven't prayed since I was like 10 years old. But when I was little, no, probably a little older than that, because I would constantly, I was told that when you lose something, you pray, "Dear Saint Anthony, please come around. Something is lost and it must be found." And then you say, "Dear Saint Anthony, help me find my baseball." And I was constantly losing my baseball, like constantly. Like I was basically an only child the way I was raised. And I would play in the backyard and lose the ball in the leaves like 10 times a day. So I did a lot of that kind of praying. Yeah.
I prayed for no nuclear war. I was terrified of nuclear war.
That's
even though I'm too young to really have ever been afraid of that. But in theory.
Oh, no. That was an 80s thing, man. That was but you're also like 25. So it's different for you.
Exactly. It's
different.
You could also say, yeah, I prayed to not get AIDS.
Did you?
No, I just that's another Jesus. 90s thing from our childhood.
I was like, wow, Travis.
I mean, well, that was the big fear. You know, you talk about, you know, nuclear holocaust. It was also AIDS. Like, I was petrified.
Yeah, I remember going to get an AIDS test in about 1998 and just poo-pooing it for a whole decade before that. And then sitting down at the age of 27 or 28 years old and waiting for the test results and being like, holy shit. Well, yeah. I straight up could have AIDS, and now I'm going to know. I didn't. Mm. I did not have HIV, which is great.
Yes, that is very good.
Yes,
it's great.
One of the things that's kind of annoying about this this story area is that it's like a bad three. I mean, all Three's Company episodes have these shenanigans where, like, you know, like people are mishearing and there's, you know, people passing in the night, and it's creating this kind of false conflict that is based entirely on coincidence. It's kind of, that's what makes it not very interesting to me. And exhausting to watch.
The stuff in the kitchen was definitely exhausting. It actually, not to belabor the David Lynch stuff, but like there's have you ever seen Rabbits?
Yes.
Right. Oh my God, Natalie Z is in the background of Travis. There's a TV star doing finger guns. She'll be back next week, gang. So Rabbits is this thing that that David Lynch made that is like three. It's like one set, three adults with rabbit heads on, coming in and out of the set, just changing positions and saying random things. And it was his idea of a sitcom. Yes. And this thing in the kitchen is like it's Lynchian. The circular nature of the conversation and the just like I heard what I heard.
Yes.
There's a whole scene where Luis checks the number and dials it again.
Well, that's kind of the thing.
Oh, maybe I misdialed it.
That's what I'm getting at. That's the thing I was going to say. I was
grinning my head off. I was like, wait a minute. This is going to be an entire scene where all he does is say, maybe I got the number wrong, and then finds out he got the number right, and then they're going to cut away, and that's exactly what happened. It was brilliant.
Right. Very, very different context. This could be a genius, like, Beckett play waiting for Godot-style, like...
Or no exit,
just the absurdity of modern communication or reliance on technology. Pick a theme, and you can make it work, but it would have to be a different context. That's what I'm saying, is that even though this is the worst for us, for our viewing experience in this episode, if you take it out of context and like beam it into space, someone will be like, this is genius. Like, this is a real comment on how people just cannot talk to each other.
Well, this is one of the reasons that I liked last week's better than this week's, is because they basically did the exact same thing last week, but that was the first time. Now they're doing the exact same thing. It's the second time. It's not.
Yeah.
There's nothing really. It's just wild, man. And then you got to have Brian over there on the boat. Although I was impressed with the verisimilitude that they brought to the boat, like the rocking and the noises. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is like the most detailed shit I've ever seen on Passions. Is their attention to making this boat seem real?
Yeah,
they really like the boats.
Yeah. Someone there loved those boats.
Then when I was in film school, the sound teacher was he was very adamant about when you establish like a base layer of ambient sound. He's like, if it's outside and it's night and you're on land, it's crickets. If you're outside on the ocean, you've got to have seagulls.
Or creaking. The boat was very creaky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite shots in this is the phone ringing. Underwater. I was just laughing out loud.
That was like a military grade telephone that he threw in the ocean. It was incredible.
I think that was, but that was
the bubbles. The bubbles coming out of the phone as it rings.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Is that you, Sheridan? Why are there bubbles coming out of the phone?
I hope God knows. It was, I cannot believe that they went to the trouble to set up light and shoot that.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that is a whole rig that had to be made. You got to get a tank. You got to light the tank. You got to put stuff in it. You got to find water. Oh, my God. You got to figure out how to make the phone look like it's ringing, which apparently they put a bubble maker in there. I mean,
I was also very impressed with how Sheridan slash Diana is like to speak to like the anxiety that I've been feeling earlier as we were talking about that. Contrast that to this person who has full amnesia and doesn't know who they are or where they came from, and the just sort of like chill effortlessness she has about like using it as an example to Brian. She's like, well, look at me. I don't know who I am or where I came.
It's all working out cash. For me.
Yeah. Like, I'm not tripping. I just can't remember anything. That's
what's weird. It should have been her saying, look, I have this part of me that is just blank. I have this hole inside me. You don't want to feel like me. Answer the phone.
Yes.
That is more active. Yes. That is more rooted in reality. But
Brian, I know what this, it is to have this empty
feels
space.
Awful.
Yeah.
Answer the phone. I know you think that he doesn't like you, but answer the phone. But that wasn't
absolutely.
And, you know,
absolutely. I've lost everything. I've literally lost everything. It slipped through my fingers. Don't
answer
let it
the
happen,
phone, Brian.
Yeah. Answer the goddamn phone, Brian.
New England.
Every time in his life that guy sees a candle, he gets sad. That's a bummer. That's a bummer. Brian. He's like, seeing this candle reminds me of my mom lighting candles. Birthdays? Can you imagine birthdays for Brian?
The horror.
Just like all those candles every time.
Just he has to leave the room. One of my favorite things about that little candle scene is the way he's standing in the doorway with his leg up, like he's in a Stetson commercial or like a Wrangler commercial. I mean, it's amazing. I'm like, oh, this guy's a total D-bag.
It's got some Marlboro man, some Marlboro man stuff going on.
He's got his back flat and his like leg up.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, somebody did some modeling. Early in their career.
Is that like Burt Reynolds in the bearskin rug style? Do you remember that?
It was
Yes.
It's not quite like Burt Reynolds could be like kind of slinky and bring some androgyny into this. This was square
so
male
square.
Beefcake stuff.
Burt did it with a wink and a grin. This was check me out. I'm fucking hot. And I know how to stand in a doorway on a soap opera.
I'm hot, and I know how to do it.
But don't bring any candles near me. I will lose.
I'm hot. I know how to do it, except candles. That's the vibe.
Candles make me sad in like a man way.
They're a real boner killer.
The best part of all of those, the kitchen, St. Lucie.
St. Lisa.
The kitchen St. Lisa thing was when Pilar said she was going to go to bed. I was like, there, something has happened. Like she said, she says, Luis, I'm going to go to bed. And I honestly, I'm not exaggerating even slightly. I felt relief because finally something happened.
I agree.
You know, it was like, oh, good. That's an actual
thing.
And
the curtain closes on our little Beckett play.
Yeah. On this exercise in telling as little story as possible in 38 minutes.
All right. Shall we move on?
Oh, yeah. Also, there was one other great moment in there, which was like Sheridan going, I don't know why, but I just have this feeling that something special is going to happen very soon. Yeah. And then they instantly cut to Luis looking at the phone again. I was like, talk about taking the air out of that idea. It's like, this is not special.
That was something
here.
I always argued with the writers and the producers right there on set is with the whole red herring thing. They really over indicated that something was coming. And I would always argue, I would say, look, if you just leave it open-ended that's enough. You don't need her to say, oh, I feel like something good is going to happen. You just leave it at her longingly looking at a candle and then him longingly looking at a candle. You know what I mean? The connection is there. And they did that all the time with me and Teresa. And I would always argue. I'd be like, look, this, you're the work is done. Now you're just doing it. You're making it obvious. And the reply was always, this is how it's done. This is how soap operas are done.
Right. Right. Sit down and shut up. And yeah. Well, there was some of that in the book cafe scene with you and Teresa this episode. Yep. Where you're talking to her and you're talking to each other, but you're telling different stories. You know what I mean? Which actually, like, she kind of, given the fact that Lindsay literally cried through the entire episode.
God, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never was without tears in the whole episode. She actually played that pretty well, you know, because that writing was treacherous. That was tough. The part where I forget who you were talking about, but she was referencing them in the second person saying, like, you know, she is deeply in love or something. Like, maybe you were talking about Lynn. Yeah.
Ethan's.
But Teresa, but because of the way Lindsay was playing, you could tell she's talking about herself.
Right.
And it was like, oh, that's not bad. Not under these circumstances.
Yeah. So are we officially moving to the book cafe?
Let's move. Man, let's go.
We are cooking, guys. Oh, wait, do we want to go to the book cafe or do we want to save that for the end and hit the kids in the?
I think Val's leaning towards the kids for last.
I'm leaning towards the kids for last because that's my favorite stuff.
You're the special guest this stuff. Week. So let's do that.
Thank you. Ben.
Again, I really enjoy how Chad and Ethan know more about what a woman's going through when she's debating on getting an abortion or not.
Well, this is America, Travis. This is how it works.
That is, you're goddamn right.
In harmony,
you hate this
in harmony
stuff so
in
much.
America. A man is going to know more about what a woman's body needs and what she wants than the woman herself.
I have to say, as great as welcome as Don is all the time on this show, Chad does not seem open to discussing this at all.
Man,
like Ethan at least is like got stuff to say. Chad's like leaning back with his arms crossed, like tell your story.
That's when
walking.
His perspective on Lynn having a baby was so piercing. He says, she'll be a single mom. It happens every day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, that's just amazing in so many ways.
I was like, when I was like 20 or 21, I might've been that blunt and been like, you know, I mean, look, it's less than ideal, but shit happens, man. You know, like this isn't TV. This isn't a movie. Life happens. And,
right.
You know.
But is there not a racial undertone there? I mean, just because I did think
it was strange that it was the two characters of color talking about it and him being like, you know, hey, what's the big deal? Grow up without a dad. Hey. It's kind of like, exactly.
Yeah,
you're just a hair's breadth away from saying the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, that's where we're at. Maybe Passions is ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
It's so bonkers. Yeah. You can't tell. You really can't. Like, it's like what's on purpose and what's not.
So a couple of observations. it seems like it's taken a very long time for her to make an appointment for the abortion. Like, seems like it shouldn't take that long.
Well, it does. It's going to take a long time when Ethan comes up to you and says, why were you making an appointment for an abortion?
Yes.
Why do you think she's making an appointment for an abortion?
Right. Right.
You
know?
investigations for an article she's writing.
Well, that's
like, why isn't the question, are you making?
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's assuming, and this is why I was always like, Ethan's such a buffoon. He's assuming that, she's doing it for Lynn.
Right.
That's
of course.
That's what he's saying. Right. And, you know, she's like, did he hear? That's the kind of, oh no.
Right. Cause Ethan is so innocent.
He's so innocent. Exactly. Yeah. And then, What I love too is when she calls back, she's like, hey, it's me again. Yeah, we were talking. You're the only one in Harmony who's calling to get an abortion.
It's so poorly conceived of, as far as like, I mean, I know that you have to use the set you have, but
yes,
but she, you know, it would have been better for the scene for her to have already made the appointment and they're calling her back to confirm. And then she has to like hide it. Cause she's, I mean,
can't she go to her car in the book cafe parking lot?
It's another set.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's a way to do that that's probably more dramatically satisfying.
Hey, at least there was like a threshold Ethan had to go through to see her, because they could have just been on the table in the corner.
But if you're...
Right, it could just a big open space.
But this is akin to like Travis, you being at Starbucks, calling your doctor to say, I think I have an STD. I think I have gonorrhea. I need to come in and check it out.
It is very strange.
It's not the right place to do that phone call if you want it to
place,
be private.
Wrong time. What about this version of White Rabbit?
Come again?
Is that what that was?
Yes, it was an alt version of White Rabbit. Maybe
what? They got Roxy Music. I guess you can get White Rabbit. It's a really funny choice. So that was, there was a cover of White Rabbit playing.
Because I don't know the original, it's not like a favorite of mine, but I feel like it was the lyrics from White Rabbit. Maybe I should go back and check before we.
I'm 100% going to go back and check that. I find it hard to believe that I would miss that, because it's like, that's like Vietnam.
Wow.
You know, it's like they're playing a cover version of Fortunate Son. And there's a chopper.
Well, this could be
going.
another one of my mental slip ups.
No. Oh, it absolutely could be. That's why I'm definitely going to check it. But I hope it's White Rabbit.
That's exciting. That's like a nice Easter egg.
That would be a nice Easter egg.
Exactly. But it's points in the good column.
It was not White Rabbit.
Lynn is insane.
Oh man.
To just like sit there, like she really looked like she went off the deep end and was like, I know why her stomach
that was
hurts.
Horrible.
There's only one thing it could mean. There's only one thing.
Oh, Teresa, what is it? You okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You're not coming down with something. You know the stomach flus are going around.
Teresa doesn't have a stomach flu. I know exactly what's going on. I've seen that look in the mirror.
Lynn, what are you talking about?
Morning sickness doesn't have to come in the morning. I know what's wrong with Teresa because I've been there.
What? Wait, what?
Teresa's pregnant.
This is why we have to like watch the other episodes to figure out what ridiculous thing she says it is. You know, like
you
why?
Mean 626?
What? Yeah, I mean like.
No, she says it. She says it. She says
but
that she's
why
Teresa's
she
pregnant.
Says it. You know what I mean? Like what? There's always some like ridiculous kind of explanation that comes out.
To justify her having said it,
so weirdly.
Well, it's monstrous behavior. Yeah. I mean, it's like to sit there and say again. Yeah. It'd be like if we were all at dinner and I looked at Travis and I was like, Travis, I know why you keep grabbing your junk. It's because you have gonorrhea.
Yeah, yeah. It's testicular
Dude,
cancer.
What the fuck?
Yes, it was very. I was. It was to its credit. It was like maybe the most compelling moment in the episode.
I agree. I also like that. Like I like when Ethan's like in that innocence, like I'm hungry. Are you hungry, Lynn?
Oh yeah,
Lynn. I know you're hungry because you got a little, you know, a little baby in your tummy, and you should eat. Like it was so.
I know. I was fucking, like, I was kind of white knuckling it through that whole thing. Like, oh my god, what are they gonna say?
It was another place where I'm like, how do I do this? How do I perform this? And make it seem so innocent and just like, you have I didn't even think that, you know?
No, I think that was the move though. You're just like, all right, we're changing the energy. We're putting that behind us. We're going to get some chow. You know, get on with life.
Why do I have to say Lynn?
yeah. Lynn, you could probably eat something, huh? Yeah, or the little one?
Yeah.
Right?
You guys are not nice to each other.
Yeah,
that whole thing. That was truly... So, Travis, it sounds like what you're saying is, for Val and I who don't watch soaps, that there's going to be probably some reason why she is acting like a monster and basically armchair diagnosing her friend over coffee.
Yes.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll see. Maybe if we ever get to 626. Well,
it would make sense, though, because there's reasons that we can actually think of. I mean, Julian could be involved, which is probably what it is.
You think
so? Well, there are people who are invested in breaking up Teresa and Ethan. And if Lynn is on their payroll, or somehow has been convinced to do that.
It was interesting coming off of your question last week regarding Riley being a self-identified Catholic. The amount of this was an extremely Catholic 38 minutes of television.
Yeah,
the non
unnegotiable
Jesuit. I mean, there's the yes, it's a bad strain of Catholicism that has been hijacked by, Ralph Reed and those folks.
Well, I mean, it's just sort of like, obviously, abortion and women's rights are like a massive hot button thing. And I basically identified as being a Catholic, conservative Catholic issue. And people are lighting candles and saying rosaries. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Like it was just a lot of... And I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. I just found it very interesting that the show was just completely Catholic identified.
What I was surprised is that there was no one defending it. No other defending. Side of the argument.
You mean someone with made pro-choice point of view?
Exactly. And someone who then they could really terrorize and get their point across.
Right. Even make a cogent argument as a mouthpiece and then make that character a punching bag so that no one mistakes, we're not supporting this. Yeah, it would have been much more interesting. I don't know how you could squeeze him in, like someone just popping in. Well, I understand someone over here is thinking about having an abortion.
Eve would do it.
Totally.
Get zombie charity to roll in.
I have been told and taught by various writers that I've worked with and showrunners that an argument like that is only really dramatically interesting if each person believes that they're right and makes a convincing case. Like each person is right.
Yes, of course.
Otherwise it's just kind of, just a conversation. It's not an actual discussion or a debate.
I hear what you're saying, Trev.
Yeah. I also, did you guys notice the look on Chad's face when Lynn's doing that weird stuff?
And when she's acting like a monster?
Yeah.
I actually didn't.
I noticed the look on his face earlier that was extraordinary, but I didn't notice during that.
It's so good. It tells the whole undertone of what's going on. Just the look is him going, "Oh, I know, but what the fuck?" And then he's like, "Oh, I got a secret, but I don't want to say it." It is all those things. It's so fucking funny. I laughed out loud. I was like, that look, it's amazing.
I was watching her, I have to say, because it was such a train wreck happening.
Well, it was also like after I went on last week about how I thought that that actress did a really good job. And in that moment, she just seemed like she was having a psychic break. It was very weird.
It did seem tonally out of very place weird. Where she had been last week. It seemed like she was given the direction, like you need to just get this out and like say it.
Well, she seemed like she snapped a little bit. It was kind of like disembodied coming through. I know what's going on with Teresa. Yeah. That kind of
right.
Weird.
It would have been more natural if she said, "Well, I know what's going on with Teresa," with this kind of flippant thing, as opposed to doing the, but I would not be surprised if she wasn't directed that way to do it directly at her, like a parent saying, I know why.
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right. That's much more the soap way to do it. That thing is to make it as fucked up as possible.
Because that's what I was always fighting against. I'm like, look, the undertone is there. The malice is there. You don't need me to. But look at the malice. Look at what I'm saying. Look at how Teresa's going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. It's like, no, I just say it. And then cut to Teresa. You'll see on her face.
That bad directing where they're just constantly like, you got to give it to him here. You got to really go right at him. Just go right at him. I think that's it for the book cafe, right?
I'm curious if I went in.
Once, Once again, a sad cafe.
Isn't that an Eagle song or a Don Henley song?
I think it's an Eagle song.
Don really? Henley.
You want to get into the Scooby-Doo
let's
gang?
Get into the Scooby-Doo gang.
Ruh-roh.
Ross is in effect.
Ross is in the house for sure.
Yeah. Reese, so I have a question for you guys about the supernatural thing, because I know she's referred to as zombie charity, but it's more like she's a golem or something. She's not really a zombie.
Right, because she is not reanimated. She is created from whole cloth, exactly. Like a golem. Yeah. I thought the exact same thing. Zoom. Very nerdy shit, but true nonetheless.
I love this. I want to get into this because I think that happened a lot where they just missed it.
You mean where they might as well just called her a vampire, like, and then none of the vampire shit.
Yeah. It was once again, zombie charity is the. And this is saying something in the Passions universe. It's the most camp thing that I've seen so far on Passions. Like, she's like pulling faces and pantomiming shit and having a ball. Like, she looks like she's having a great time and just being 1,000,000% over the top and weird, you know, and also look like she owned it. Like, that looks like it was Molly's choices at work.
Oh,
doing
yeah.
That shit.
Well, last episode we called her the Naomi Watts of fashion. So.
Exactly. She's taking this thing and running with it.
She's doing a great job. It's almost a little Sam Raimi-esque Bruce Campbell with the faces and the physicality and the exaggerated movements. Army of Darkness.
No, here's my thing. This is probably one of those things that, like, it's Passions. Who gives a shit? But just humor me. Why is a zombie or golem charity preferable to just a dead or disappeared charity? In terms of the plan, right? Like, wouldn't it just be smarter to, like, charity's just gone. We through supernatural means, so no one's gonna find her.
We talked about
caught,
this last week, though,
know?
Which was
did we?
Passions will always, if there's a straight line to a problem and there's a solution, there's a straight line. They will always ignore that and say, you know what? That is not going to give us enough episodes. We need to go with as many possible ways for this plan to fail. So that we can have it fail multiple times so that we can get 3 months out of the storyline instead of 1 week.
And that's the genius of it.
And so the idea is to keep Miguel out of Charity's pants, right?
Yeah.
That's what Tabitha is trying to do. And so why doesn't she just disappear Miguel?
Because that would be too simple. Yeah,
and that's really what it is. So the answer, it does come to fuck it, it's Passions. Right. That's what it is.
She's probably said multiple times, my magic isn't strong. She doesn't have all her magic powers together. But then throughout the seasons, sometimes her magic is really badass and it saves her. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's like a cartoon. It's like you can't really count on it.
Yeah, no, you cannot.
I am hopeful. Even though I doubt this has come to pass, in a sort of a mutiny on behalf by Timmy, because he's like he keeps through this whole thing is obviously very concerned about Charity and what's going to happen to her, and I would like to see. It would be great if he shanghaied
literally serving two mistresses because he's serving Tabitha, who he's loyal to and his best friend. And he's also serving his feelings for Charity, and they're at odds. Like, he can't – helping one will hurt the other. He's kind of in a true dilemma.
And this is the beginning of his kind of big arc, which leads to ultimately his departure, because he has to decide whether he wants to be a real boy or a doll, and then he ends up giving his heart away to Charity to help her to save her life.
This
is like the beginning of that long arc.
When you reduce
it to those elements, and it seems really interesting. And it seems cool.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It does. Like, I'm picturing in my head the sacrifice that he's making for Charity, and like that would be rad.
Love that.
So
just like pitching that to someone, and it's like That sounds amazing. I can't wait to see it. And then you turn in the episode and you're like, huh. So that's how you, that's the direction you went in to get that story done.
Yeah, we have another like, fuck it, it's passions thing in that like, I can tell you right now that if I was whatever these, what do you think these kids are? 23? Yeah.
No, they're teenagers.
They are teenagers.
Wait, the okay. characters or the actors? Oh yeah, they're
the characters, the Scooby-Doo yeah. gang. Those yeah. they're teenagers. I mean, I you know when I see like a shit ton of blood, it's not like all right, let's go to work on that. That's called the cops yeah. time, right? Like that was a lot of blood. It's a lot of blood yeah. in the snow there, yeah. you know. And they're all like, okay, yeah, let's look around the let's see if there's something out here that ate or yeah. killed them.
But Val, don't call out unless you find them.
Yes.
Knowing that there's something that might have caused a lot of blood loss, you like must be quiet. Yeah, right. Bear. That's why I wrote bear.
Right. We're observing radio sites. Keep this channel yeah. clean until yeah. you know until you've
I had a similar thought, Val. I was like, I wrote, why are these almost adults playing hide and seek?
Man. That I can see. Teenagers playing hide and seek.
Yeah,
sure.
Maybe as an excuse for grab ass.
That's what I mean. It can turn yeah. into sexy times. You know, you're still you're transitioning between childhood and adulthood. You know, you're going to have some feelings. Some things are going to change. Things are going to grow.
That was the it's Netflix just, and chill of our generation.
Yeah, hide and seek yes. in the snow.
Totally.
Hide and seek.
Totally. And in fact, the more that we're talking about it, 1,000,000%, yeah. I get that. It totally makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but that's when you
boys and girls out in the woods at night.
You always wanted to find
like you might trip and finger someone, you know.
Come you always find wanted this. To find it was always like, okay, I want that girl to find me, but I don't want to hide. I want to hide, but not too good.
Does anybody have any other points about what's going on in the woods there and that whole the whole supernatural thing? Yeah, besides the fingering. It's the spell. It's the name of the movie about that. The movie about that is called The Fingering.
Because the hand job.
Well, the hand job is it's like a British gangster movie. The hand job. And the horror movie is called The Fingering.
I just want to honor Natalie in her absence and just ask if we can comment on Tabitha's look. Is it iconic or not?
100%.
Guys, you guys like Tabitha more than I do. There's just no doubt. I was so psyched about this whole thing. Like, this is going to be great. Tabitha, the weird witch that I've heard so much about, even before we started doing this, I knew about Tabitha. And, yeah, that's not
so you're saying you will not be going to Tabitha for Halloween this year?
No. And it's like, no, Tabitha and Timmy are so weird. They're so mm-hmm. so weird. To answer your question, I don't find the look right. iconic. No, I'm voting all no. Right. I'm voting
so
no.
You guys heard it. Trav, what do you think?
Oh yeah. 100% iconic.
And I'm watching the Halston miniseries on Netflix, so I know if I'm iconic.
Real quick, round the horn, what are your themes? I'll start. Mine is tears for fears ... of an unwanted baby.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
You do. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And you even yeah,
tears
like
for
it.
Fear.
Thank you.
I got a couple I was like, I really like Pray the Baby Away.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh, yeah. That's good. That's
and
good.
And then I kind of imagine Ethan being like, there's a right time and a wrong time to get an abortion.
Yep. Yep. That definitely seems like an Ethan process yeah. right there.
All right, Val.
Mine, like I said, I did not enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed the last one. And I kind of psychologically got stuck in that kitchen with Luis and, yeah. and Pilar. Like, I think I'm still there, sort of. So mine is Hell is Other That's, People. Yeah. That is my
value
that's
win
my thing.
For this episode.
That one never – that one,
Thank
that
you.
One works every time.
That's true.
I know. That's why it's a little bit of a cheat because like it's a drag, yeah, but it's true.
Well, yeah, especially when you're talking about the Lopez's Joe kitchen.
And we have not used it yet, so good job.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was definitely motivated by thinking of No Exit and Waiting for Godot and all that jazz.
All right.
Great. Well, you know, that's a play I want to see where you do those plays as a soap opera.
Yeah.
On stage.
Without irony and no joke, I would be so
I'm going to start writing it.
Yeah. Do you want me to start doing our
the housekeeping.
Okay. Wait, hey, Natalie. Have Natalie say something.
Say something.
Travis. Oh,
I miss you guys. I'm going to go make the donuts.
Go make the donuts.
Love you.
Love you too.
We're blowing each other kisses because Natalie doesn't have headphones on and she can't hear us.
Have a good day.
All right, so we'll do some housekeeping. Yeah. Contact us. We're on Twitter at Passions4. We are on Instagram at PassionsForLifePod. You can email your questions to us at emailpassions@gmail.com. Ask us anything, even if it's not passions related, even if you're aggravated, just send us an email. There's at the bottom of every show description for our podcast here, there's a link that says click here for supplemental video. And if you click that, you can watch the episodes along with us, which we think is terrific and super fun. I want to thank the people, I think there were four of you, who heeded my begging last time and got on there and gave us some stars on our iTunes thing. Oh yeah, I'm pulling
thank
it up here on my phone.
So
we're watching it climb. Please keep doing that. If you haven't done it, please do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just get in there. Just feels so good. Just click.
You know? 1, 2, 3, 4. Bye.
5 stars. And that's it for house cleaning.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week, I guess. I won't be, but the boys and Natalie, I guess, will be. Is that correct?
We gotta figure out what we're gonna talk about.
Okay, we don't have an episode picked yet. But thank you for letting me do this, guys.
It's been a blast.
This is great.
It has. It's been a little different energy, a little different thing than we usually do.
But it's hot boys.
Hot boys summer.
Right now it's I'm a shiny, sweaty boy.
Even a little
sweaty down there.
Yes. So to the listeners at home and in your cars and in your offices, love you. I'll catch you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.